We're going to start off this hour, however, talking about recovery.gov, and people who are keeping an eye on your agency's stimulus spending are taking stock of their own work. The Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board has just released its 2010 annual report, essentially looking back at the challenges that they faced, the triumphs in the stimulus bill's second year. Ed Pound is one of the report's principal authors. He's also the board's director of communications, and he joins us right now with highlights, look at the year past and what they still have coming up. Ed Pound, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Chris.
And you're usually setting these things up, so it's nice to actually get to talk to you.
Thank you.
So first off, tell us, annual report, why do you guys actually do this?
Well, we do this. It's basically our report to the American public, the American people. We want the public to know exactly what we're up to, what we're doing, what we're planning. This report goes to the president. It also goes to members of Congress. And, you know, it's our way of letting the public know what we've been doing in the last year. And, you know, it's our second annual report.
And I know for somebody who's lived under a rock and hasn't heard of the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board, you were created as a result of the stimulus spending, the $800 billion recovery package.
That's correct. We are not TARP. We are the Recovery Board, and it's the recovery program. It's the economic stimulus program, $787 billion. The Recovery Board is an independent agency, Chris, and its job is to oversee this program looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, and also to manage recovery.gov, which is a public-facing website in which we report to the American people on what we found and what is happening with the money. But again, we are an independent agency.
And made up of a lot of IGs, essentially.
Yes. It is chaired by Earl Devaney, the Inspector General of the Department of Interior, and there are 12 other inspectors general from various agencies who serve on this board with him.
And this law was very interesting because it literally built the transparency and openness right into not only the law, but into the creation of the Recovery Board, making all this stuff very, very public.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's our mission. Our mission is to be as transparent as we can possibly be and to be accountable to the public. And I think we've made great inroads in this area in the past 2 years. We've got more work to do, obviously, and we're in the process of doing that right now.
And by most people accounts, the recovery.gov has really been set almost a standard for how you can do transparency and openness.
We think so, Chris. I mean, we've been pretty pleased with, you know, you never want to be too self-satisfied. You've always got to be looking to get better. But we've been pleased. But we're in a position where we think that that there ought to be deeper reporting by the recipients of this money. The people who receive this money, you can only go so deep right now under the guidance that has been issued by the Office of Management and Budget, OMB. And we feel that we could even go deeper if we had the right, if we had the right support. And so the public could follow this money, we could follow this money and provide it to the public in an even more thorough fashion.
What were some of the challenges that you faced, particularly in the past year? And I know one of the big things that you guys did was roll out the sort of version 2 of recovery.gov.
Yeah, that was, we actually rolled that out in September of 2009. Obviously, you know, anytime we had to move quickly on this, Chris. I mean, this agency was created in February 2009 at the same time that the $787 billion stimulus program was created. So we had a lot on our platter in the first 7 or 8 months. We had to create a second version, a more technological website, Recovery 2.0. We had to create federalreporting.gov, which is the inbound website that receives data from recipients, and we had to build an accountability program. So we had a lot of things going. And in the first reporting period, I mean from the recipients of this money, there certainly were some bumps in the road. You know, we had problems with people putting the wrong information in the reports. Some recipients did not understand how to calculate jobs.
The famous one was
the famous congressional district, which really And people found this hard to believe when I was explaining it at the time. By this I mean some reporters. But this was simply people entering incorrect zip codes and correct congressional districts.
Well, and in some cases it wasn't even malicious. They didn't know.
It wasn't malicious at all. What happened is people didn't know their congressional district, and they entered, let's say they lived in a state with 8 congressional districts. They entered 32. They took a guess at it. And at that time, we had so much on our plate at that time. And remember, this is back in October, and this is 8 months into this program. And we had so much on our plate at the time is that we hadn't been able to build hard checks into the federalreporting.gov system, which would prevent people from making these kind of errors. Obviously, we built those hard checks into the system so that if you put in the wrong congressional district now, you cannot go forward in filling out that report.
Can you make the, because one section is of your annual report is titled Transparency, the Road to Open Government.
Yes.
Connect these two things, because I know in this age of WikiLeaks, open government and transparency are taking some real hits, and people are saying, hold on, is there too much openness? Connect why the link between transparency, open government, and then I think the end goal is having trust, faith of the citizens.
Yeah, well, we take the position that transparency, you know, drives accountability. When you have a transparent system like we have, people can actually, you know, see where their money is going. And it's like Chairman Devaney says, basically, it's the best medicine he's ever had. That, you know, it's the best deterrent medicine that he's ever given out, I think is the way he has put it.
It seems to me there's a couple aspects of this. All of a sudden, all of that is public, so people think twice about just hitting send. But it's also, you've essentially have deputized millions of people who go on recovery.gov to be sort of IG deputies kind of thing.
That's correct. And we are going to try to engage the public even more so that we get as much bang for our buck. And that, by that I mean so that we get as much information from the public so that we can do our accountability job better. Because, you know, the people are the eyes and ears for this program. And we can only have so many analysts. The inspector general can only have so many auditors, so many investigators. States are in the same position, local government. So it's the people who many times, and we get a lot of reports on our hotline of allegations of misdeeds and that kind of thing. So it's very important to us that we have citizen engagement and that we have citizen trust.
Do you have an assessment of how many of those calls that came in, how many of those ended up being something legitimate, and how many were just people angry about stimulus money? I'm sure you track all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't have it, Chris. I don't have the numbers with me right now, but I can tell you that we've had a substantial number, and I believe the number is on the website, of cases that we've actually referred to IGs for inspectors general for review, and it's up to them to take the ball and run with it and see what they find. We obviously, when you have a hotline like this, you do get calls from people who are mad about this or that, and it has nothing to do with the recovery program.
Well, and I work for a news organization. Yeah. Occasionally, you get people who are a little crazy.
Yeah, you get people who don't. I wouldn't quite put it that way, but you don't. You know, some people, you know, just feel strong about an issue. They don't know where to go.
Yeah.
They find there's a recovery hotline, and they call the hotline and express their frustration. But we have gotten many leads from people who have called our hotline and referred these to inspectors general. Now, people have to understand that if you open a criminal investigation, you know, generally it takes two years or so. That Mr. Devaney will tell you that, longtime, you know, investigator himself, law enforcement figure, that, you know, it takes a long time. It takes 2 years. So you don't necessarily see at this stage of the game all of the indictments that you might see down the road. No one can predict yet how many there will be, but I think there will be some, obviously. But having said that, Chris, I think that we've done a good job, along with our partners in the state, local governments, and the IG community, in keeping fraud tamped down.
I know there are so many lessons learned, but is there one? You've been doing this for a long time. You've been government for a while. You've been there. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Is there something that Earl Devaney once said to me that if don't get into openness, don't get into transparency if you're easily embarrassed, because there are going to be problems. And he always uses the wrong, incorrect congressional districts as one of the examples. Are there broad lessons that you can take from the work that you've done in the last year and a half?
Well, I mean, the basic underlying lesson that I have learned, and as a public official, and I think people here in the organization have learned, is that transparency really does drive accountability. When it's out there for people to see, you know, it's less likely that people who have this money might misuse this money. Now, we are in the process. Mr. Devaney has been asked by Vice President Biden to put together an option paper describing how some of the lessons learned during the past 2 years could become a template or model for the future for government.
Well, I know a lot of people have pointed to USAspending.gov and some of these other sites out there that don't quite have the transparency that Recovery.gov does.
Yeah, well, in our situation, it's too early to go into details of what we're going to have in this report. We haven't finished it yet, but suffice it to say that Mr. Devaney and the board, which, as you know, as we pointed out, includes inspectors general from other agencies, believe that the American public has a right to know how its government is spending taxpayer dollars. And, you know, so we're going to be pursuing issues like this. It'll be out there in this report, but we're a ways yet from finishing it.
Very nice. Ed Pound is one of the principal authors of the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's 2010 annual report. He's also the board's director of communications. We have